chapter 6. We are way removed from me teaching on Thursday nights. I didn't teach the last three Thursday nights. I've gone two for Haiti, and then last week we had Travis teach. And so I'm going to go a step back a little bit to where we were. We've been going through 2 Corinthians and giving you some things that Paul was dealing with the Corinthian Christians. And Corinth was, 2 Corinthians 6 was where I'll be. Corinth was a very wicked city. It was like we'd call Las Vegas or something like that, Sin City. It was, when you're being really immoral and full of debauchery, they had a phrase, a Greek phrase, and it was basically, you're being a Corinthian. You're like a Corinthian when you're really bad and debased and evil and being really bad. And it was a wicked town. It was a port town and an important city. But Paul started the church, working a job, and then headed out and then heard about all kinds of problems for 1 Corinthians. And then he had people standing against him and causing problems in the church. And so he wrote 2 Corinthians to kind of finish up correcting the church and trying to get back there. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 6, with that context a little bit, we'll start at verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? It's like saying this is a light-dark room. And they just don't go together. And they don't have fellowship. And what communion hath Christ with, or light with darkness? And what concord, agreement and fellowship hath Christ with Belial? Or what part is he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As he has said, I will dwell with them and walk with them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. There's a lot in there. Let's go ahead and pray. We'll talk about it. Lord, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for all that's in this passage, Lord. And I just pray that our minds would be renewed and we'd understand. Though we might have heard some preaching on this, Lord, I pray we'd understand from a different angle. The devil's devices and your demand. And may we not get messed up because of this, Father. And I think the devil's very crafty with this. Please help us and give us your wisdom, and may your spirit help us to see clearly and make any changes. May we be willing that if you speak to us, we would make any changes we need to make and give us your insight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Because of the wonderful promises, we should cleanse ourselves from all filthiness, it says in chapter 7, verse 1, and perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I do not believe you perfect your holiness in the love of God. I think love of God is very important, and if we love him, keep his commandments, but you really won't get all the way completely holy until you fear God also. And so we're supposed to realize what a blessing that if we will be clean and separate, God will have fellowship with us very closely. But so we ought to want that fellowship with God, but he will not have the right kind of fellowship with us and will not be close to us and as a father, child, and being drawn near to him unless we do separate from the unclean thing. And so he says, if you don't touch this unclean thing, touch not. Verse 17, wherefore come up from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Touch not, and then I will receive you. God says, I'm not going to receive you. I'm not going to embrace you until you're separated from the unclean thing. And so that's the way God is. It is a vacuum of doctrine in Christianity today. God just embraces everything. God is love, and God is fine, and God will be close to you. Today I was talking to some people, meeting some people, and I just had halfway through the conversation say, I need you to stop saying this is just what God brought in my life. you brought this by your bad actions, and God's punishing you. I said, quit trying to pep yourself up and feel good about yourself. God doesn't bless everything. And you just, everybody wants to feel like God's embracing them and God's embracing what they did. And I know I probably shouldn't, but God still loves me. Yes, God still loves you. That does not mean he's embracing you. There's people I love I wouldn't embrace. Okay? I could love a person and they have, you know, tuberculosis and I'm not going to embrace them at the time. Because I don't want tuberculosis. And God says, if you will cleanse yourself and separate yourself, then I will have this close relationship with you. Now, he'll save you either way. You're not saved by being good, but closeness with God and deep fellowship with God, that is reserved for separated Christians. And so God is very big on that. Now, let me give you the big point of this, because there isn't points in this message, but just one thought and then illustrate that. When the devil cannot get us to reject the Lord, he will get us to mix with what he, the devil, let me start that again. When the devil cannot get us to reject the Lord, the devil will get us to mix with what the Lord will not be with. Okay? You cannot get Christians in America, they love God, they want to serve God. You cannot get them to say, I'm not going to serve Jesus, I don't love God, I don't like God. But he wants to separate the Christian from God. So what does he do? He gets them to get a poison pill with them that God will not mix with. And the same result happens. And that is the doctrine of separation. Separation is a vital doctrine everywhere in the Bible. You start in Genesis 1, you immediately find separation. He separated light from darkness. Before everything else happens, before man's created, he separates things. Go to the end of Revelation. My people, come out from them and don't touch anything from Babylon. Separate. For without of heaven, without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and adulterers. They're separated from heaven. Separation's from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. It's everywhere in the Bible. And God is a God of separation. Christians don't want to be separated from God. They love God. And so the devil says, well, I can't get you to reject God. I can't get you to hate God. Let me just get you to get with the things that God will not embrace, and then God and you are not going to be close. And you can feel like, because your feelings towards God, you and God are close, but you aren't. Your feelings are totally deceiving you. I will not touch. And that's what God says there. So let me illustrate this. Let's pretend like I don't like... there is a family that you want to be close to, and I don't want you in that family to be close. And I know something about that family. They are clean freaks, and you love them. And you want to be close to that family, and they're good family, and you're a good family, and you want to be close and friends to that family, and you love them, and they love you, and I say, I don't want you guys to be close. I don't want you to be with them. I don't want you to embrace each other. I don't want you to like each other. I don't want you to be together. I want you to be separated. I don't like you two being together. I go to you, and I say, do not go with them. Do not invite them over. I don't want you with them. And you say, no, I love them. They are close friends, they're important to us, and you cannot get us to separate from them. And you realize I'm the enemy, I'm trying to cause problems. And I say, well, you know what? You need to not let them come. You need to not be with them. Nope, we love them. We're going to do that anyway. Oh, man, this stinks. Then I call you with my anonymous voice, and I said, you know, I hear you're charitable people. I've got these people who need some help, and I'm going to need you to move into your house for a while. Now you get an appointment Friday with the neat freak family. And I drive this family by. And this family gets out of the car, says, wow, that's a pretty house. Come on, kids, come on, dogs, come on, cats. And they bring in their 12 cats and 11 dogs, and they are filthy and stinky, and they come inside and they take their food out and they put the plate out and dish it up there, and the cats lick and dogs eat off the plate, then they pick it up and eat right off the dogs, and they just are disgusting and gross, and they miss the toilet and they don't flush, and they're filthy and nasty and dirty, and the whole house stinks, and they will go and they serve up the food on the plate the dog ate off of. And they say, listen, dogs are clean. Cats have gone to the bathroom on the couch, and they just wipe it up and take it, and they don't really disinfect anything, and your house stinks. Well, the clean family comes by. Says, what are all those animals drooling in the window? And they come inside the house. Whoa! You ever done that? Whoa! Walk inside the house. And they look around, and one of the people walks up, hey, look, I got some food for you. You know, that dog licked off this bowl, but you know what? It's okay, because dogs' mouths are cleaner than humans anyway. This family turned around and says, you know, we love you guys, but we can't do this. We just can't. We aren't going to be able to come to your house when they're here. And they leave. I accomplished the same thing. It's not that I got you to hate them or them to hate you. I just got it so there was something they wouldn't mix with. And they separated from you. Said, we can't be together. If I'm going to go visit someone and they have leukemia and they're in a bubble and they're at serious danger with getting infections, and I come and I got a cough or a cold or whatever sickness I got, listen, with my sickness, I can't embrace them. I just can't. It's an unclean thing that's to be rejected for them. And so God separates things. And God says, I despise that. You understand? God hates sin. The Bible says, abhor that which is evil. Despise utterly is what the word means. God is too holy as to behold iniquity. God says, I will not let one sin into heaven. Adam and Eve, you ate that fruit? See ya. Like me with me in my garden. I don't like that. He is a holy God. That's why immediately people go in God's presence and say, I am unclean. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of unclean people. I'm filthy. And the angel has to touch his mouth with coal and say, okay, you're clean. You can be in God's presence. Now, why? Because, and that's what salvation is all about, is the sin. God does not like certain things. So what the devil's great trick is not to get you to reject God, and God will never reject you. He just makes you off limits from closeness with God by making you mingle with unclean. And now, God says, you separate from that, or I'm separated from you. We're not going to be close. Let's go look at this passage again. Be not in verse 14, chapter 6. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Do you know an unbeliever is an enemy of God? That's what the Bible says. You say, but they're nice people. They're the enemy of God. It's like me saying, hey guys, this is my good friend. His name's Osama bin Laden. And a lot of Americans say, no, you can't be friends with him and friends with me. I know he's dead. It's like me going and saying, hey, I'm going to go visit the Jewish Holocaust Museum, and I got this guy named Adolf over here with the funny mustache. Well, they're not going to dwell together. Somebody's not going to get along here. We love the unsaved, for God so loved the world. God loves the unsaved, but until they're saved, they're the enemy of God. What fellowship do you have with them? How dare you date one and marry one? You're dating, you're going to marry the enemy of God, and you think God's going to bless your marriage? What are you thinking? separate. Well, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Well, God wouldn't want anything to do with an idol. Good. You're the temple of God. Don't bring evil into God's temple. Don't bring the idolatry of don't bring the idolatry of Corinth into your body. Don't bring the wickedness of Corinth into your life. Separate. God says, and if you will separate, I want to be close to you. I want that. He says, in what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you, the temple of the God, which God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk with them and be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them. Whoosh, and separate. And touch not the unclean thing. Don't even touch it. Don't even touch it. The world's filthy. Don't even touch it. Well, man, if I did that, I'd look crazy. I know. Been looking that way for a long time now. And even Christians now, because they don't understand separation, will criticize you. You don't need to go that far. Don't touch it. Well, I mean, you know, come on. I want to be close to God. Touch not the unclean thing. That's what God commands right there, right? Amen? God says, touch not the unclean thing. And yet Christians will have unclean things and touch unclean things and have in their life unclean relationships and all these things and embrace them and make them part of their life and say, God, embrace me. I don't feel close to you, God. I love you. And God says, I know you do, but you're icky. You're surrounded by icky things. Every time I walk up to hug you, that stinky dog is leaning against you and gets me all muddy. And so there's a separation there. Good illustration of this. Let me take it a few verses. Revelation chapter 2. Separation is to get you close to God. It's not just separating from something. It's separating unto God. Revelation chapter 2. Let me show you how the devil did this. And this is what I'm talking about. How the devil will get you through separation, through lack of separation. He gets us to be separated from God. Not that we're rejecting God or being terrible. This is Revelation 2:14, then we'll go back to Numbers. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there, this church, them that hold a doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So, there's words in here that aren't in Numbers, okay? If you just had the Old Testament, you wouldn't know the whole story, but this tells us the rest of it. It said Balaam was a prophet, and Balak was a king of Moab, and he tried to get Balaam to curse God's people, okay? And he blessed God's people instead. Remember, the donkey tried to stop him and all those things. And he blessed God's people instead. But Balaam was not a good guy. He was disobedient to God. And though he's a prophet of God, and though he blessed God's people, in the end, he taught Balaam how to ruin God's people, but he could not curse God's people. So he said, how can I help this guy? He's giving me a lot of money and wants to give me a lot of recognition. How can I help him ruin Israel? Because I just blessed Israel. And go back to Numbers and chapter 31. And so he found a way to do that. He taught Balak, and the same thing happened to a church in the New Testament times. They had the same thing. And I believe we have the same thing today, that the same sin of Balaam that God said he doesn't like is done. He taught them to commit fornication and eat things sacrificed to idols, to which God, of course, got very mad about and punished them for. Numbers chapter 31 and verse 16. Behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor, and that there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. So Balaam taught these people how to get them to commit idolatry and to get God very mad and they got punished for it, and they sinned against God, and there was a plague among them because Balaam taught Balak, their enemy, the pagan land, the pagan people there, how to ruin him. Back to 25. He couldn't get God to curse him, so he had to change things. And Numbers 25, verse 1, Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. That's who the whole issue is, Moab. They began to intermarry and fornicate with the women of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. And the people did eat and bow down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, the false idol. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And a plague came among them. What happened? Basically, if we put all these verses together, you find out that basically Balaam tried to curse him, blessed him. Or he said, I'm not going to curse him because God says not to, but I'm going to bless him. And he blessed him from all four sides. And then he goes and he says, but you know, if you want to really get that, just get them to meet your young ladies. Let them intermarry. They will bring idolatry to the people of Israel. And then God will curse them because they have idolatry. And they're unclean, they're immoral. In other words, we're going to go in by getting away the separation. And now you're not separated, now you're mixed with the evil, and now God's punishing them because the evil in their midst. Okay? That's the thing that God is still mad about in Revelation 2. He's still mentioning that situation. Look at Numbers chapter 11. And verse 4, and it says, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who should give us flesh to eat? Notice that. Look at those words, the mixed multitude. You're going to find throughout Exodus and Numbers, you're going to find those terms, the mixed multitude kept on causing problems. Mixed, what does that mean? It wasn't just Jews, it was the people round about, and those mixed multitudes would go do evil together, and God would punish them. See, the devil's great trick is to intermingle that which is clean and that which is unclean. If I have a cup of clean, beautiful water and a cup of poison, and I mix them together, do I get two cups of clean? No. It doesn't clean the dirty. It dirties the clean. Okay? When you mix things together. There's many kinds of illustrations I could do this. And I've heard many crude ones that are actually, hope you understand it. You take a filthy pan that a dog's been using, and you put good clean food in it, you can eat the food? No, because it's now unclean. And so God looks at it far worse than that and says, you've got gross stuff you're mixing with. I don't want a part of that. I don't want to eat that. I don't want to hug that. I don't want to be close to that. The devil, I love you and you're good. I like you. But you've mixed with unclean. You're not separated. You've not come out from among them and be separate. I'm one of these now. I'm not one of those anymore. I don't do that. Acts 2:40, it said, what should we do? And he says, separate yourselves from this untoward generation. Get out of the world, Jerry, and get out of this unclean. And by the way, if that generation was unclean, what do you think we're among? Separate from them. Separate from them. See, the devil gets us to mix. Look at Ezra. Watch these. Just examples of this lack of separation. Ezra in chapter 6. Biblical separation is huge. Ezra chapter 6. And I'm going to read three verses out of Ezra. I think those will be maybe some of the last verses we read. Ezra chapter 6 and verse 21. It says, the children of Israel, which were come out of the captivity, and all such as separated themselves unto them from the filthiness of the heathen of the land, to seek the Lord God of Israel to eat. They would not let the people who had not separated from the land eat in the feast. Okay? And then Ezra chapter 9. Remember, they were coming back and fixing the temple and getting back on spiritual track, but they realized there's a huge separation problem. The people weren't separate. Ezra 9, verse 1, "Now when these things were done, the princes came to me, saying, 'The people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Jebusites and the Amorites and the Moabites and the Egyptians and the Amorites. For they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and rulers have been chief in this trespasses. And when I heard this thing, I rent my garment and mantle, plucked off the hair of my head and of my beard, and sat down astonied. And there assembled me one of everyone that trembled the words of God of Israel because of transgressions that had those been carried away." Why? They had intermingled with the heathens around there. And he said, "We are in trouble. We've intermingled." Chapter 10 in verse 11. "Now therefore make confession unto the Lord God of your fathers, and do his pleasure, and separate yourselves from the people of the land and from the strange wives." So you see that that's there. So there's a separation of what's evil, okay? There's a separation of what's wrong. Now, the craziest thing that when somebody walked up and handed me the church growth book above the 90s, the late 90s, it came out and everybody jumped on it. And somebody handed me that book and I started looking through it and I thought, wow, these are really clever and excellent methods to get a church to grow. Except for they're terribly unbiblical. Boy, is this going to be a disaster. They call it seeker-friendly. What that means is you intermingle the unsaved all over in a church. You let them be in the choir. You let them be in every group. You let them teach. You let them be all over inside there. It's friendly for them. Let them feel at home. Don't put any pressure. Don't preach the gospel to them. And they will get saved as they mingle with the Christians and dwell among them. And you get a church with a bunch of unclean enemies of God in it. And of course, it became shallow, and the message changed. And they did. And why not bring rock music in? Why not make it into a concert? Why not jam out for Jesus? That's what the unsaved want, right? Yeah, that's what they want. And we're trying to reach people, right? Yeah, we're trying to reach people. Let's just take the world's music and put it in there. Let's touch the unclean thing. Let's just make it clean. You know what? I know it's black and filthy, but we got a rattle can. Put the word Jesus in there, and the rattle can's white, and it'll look good. And yeah, you just painted with white. Dung. It's unclean. You mingled with the world. It's better to please God and let him build a church, and whatever happens, happens. But don't try to intermingle with the world and its system and its ways and its moralities and its messages. Let's shorten the messages. Let's take the Bible out. Let's say what people want to hear. Let's not be offensive. Let's not talk about hell. Let's make it a comfortable thing. Let's throw it lights. Let's make it feel like a nightclub they're used to. Let's just be like the world. You'll get a crowd that way. Absolutely. You'll get a crowd that way. They'll love it. They'll feel comfortable. They'll feel just like the bar they go to on Friday nights. I just don't want people to go to bars on Friday nights to feel comfortable at church. I want to feel convicted. Amen. I'm not trying to be like the world. I'm come up from among them and be separate. Why? Because I want to embrace God, and God didn't like icky stuff. He wants separation from Christians. That's why we do what we do. We're not trying to be like the world. We're trying to separate. Now, that means you're just not going to reach anybody. You're not going to go to people. You're not going to be their friends because they're not saved. Not at all. Jesus was a friend of sinners. Let me illustrate it this way. Let's pretend like the doctor. Doctors treating patients with, they've got chikungunya disease, and they've got they've got tuberculosis, and they've got AIDS, and they've got this disease, and they've got that disease, and they've got sickness, and their patients got pink eye and everything else. And the doctor's doing surgery and treating all these people. He goes to them to get them better. He does not roll around with them. He does not embrace them. He does not kiss them. He might wear a mask when he goes with them. He wears gloves to go in and work among them. He doesn't come home and say, how you doing, honey? You have a bloody outfit on. Get your junk off you from work. So what do? We go be around sinners to win them to Christ. We don't become a part of them. We don't go drinking with them. We go to them, we love them, we give them the gospel and say, hey, come out from among them and separate with me. Come out here to the separation. We don't go to the person eating in the dump and eating garbage and sit there down with them and eat with them garbage. We go to them and say, there's something better than this. Come with me out of the dump. We'll get you some good food. Follow? But if you sit down with them and start eating the garbage and sleep in the garbage dump and live in the garbage dump and say, I'm doing this to reach people in the garbage dump. Okay? Don't come hug me. Grant's listening. Awesome. Great sense of humor that kid has. Why? Go to them and bring them out. But don't become one of them. Go to them and treat them. And then tell them you got to separate from this because it's bad. You're sick. But don't expect your wife to come embrace you in your bloody smocks. Clean up. And don't live there and get every disease and then have every disease and say, honey, why don't you want to hug me? Because your eyes are pink. And I think pink eye you were treating today, right? Yeah, but you know what? Just, you know, I love you though. And I have positive feelings toward you. Hug me anyway. I don't want that. You ever just said, you walk up and say, I'm sick. And you say, thank you for telling me that. You go, thank you. It's good because why? We want to separate. We want to reach those people, love those people, help those people. We do. But we do it, and then we want a separated church. See, because the devil has got this great strategy. He did it with Balaam. He's done it so many times. And Paul says, hey, guys, with such great promises, if we will separate and not touch the unclean thing and not mix, God will be a father to us and will be his children and he'll dwell among us and it's going to be so close and beautiful with such amazing promises. Let us perfect holiness in the fear of God. Let's not mix and think God's going to embrace us. Don't expect a blessed marriage with an unsaved person. Don't expect that God to do what he says he's not going to do. Don't expect a filthy life to be blessed. Don't expect a worldly life. Don't have worldly music and expect God to dwell among it. You have worldly music in your home. The Bible says, God says, you know, I inhabit the praises of Israel. I'm not gonna inhabit garbage. I'll still be there, but I'm way back here. And don't, so we, that's how we separate. And the devil gets rid of this separation and says, just mix. Don't you reject God. You love God. God loves you. God loves you. He's always loved you. You're good. You're not as bad as some people. You and God can be close. Just don't be go overboard. Just take some of that stuff in your life. Just bring those people to your house. And the people and they will be there. And your picky friends will be there. You'll all be together. And you can mix. And the picky friends say, no, we don't. So that's why separation is so important. Because the mixing is the devil's little tool to get. Not that God's rejecting you. He's rejecting what's among us. And so he says, I can't get as close to you as I want. Come up from among them and be separate. Be a born-again Christian. Be different. And I'll be close to you. Got it? Amen. All right, let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for the word. I thank you that this passage teaches this so clearly, Lord. And just so interesting, Father, the different way to look at that, that really the mixing is the devil's backward tool to get us far from you. Help us not to be a mixed multitude. Help us not to be a life that's a mixed multitude. Help us understand that separation is to be separated, to be close to you. And thank you for these wonderful promises of your closeness if we'll separate. But help us never to expect to have the closeness with you if we're not going to separate from the things that you will not embrace. Thank you for your word that teaches us this. Thank you for the examples of it. Thank you. Bring it back up, even in a church in the New Testament in Revelation 2. Same old thing. Taught them to mix. May we not get messed up in this way, Lord. And we just pray you'd help us to understand this doctrine and apply it to every area of our life. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Tonight we're